Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, May 2018 edition. And on the cover of this edition, as I stated last week, is Kerry Washington. And we're going to go over a story about her in regards to her final season on Scandal. And then we're also going to cover Money and Power. And then followed by that, we're going to cover Industry Disruptor. So, first things first, let's go ahead and get started with Kerry Washington. Looks like the title of this particular article is called The Exit Interview. Scandal's finale may be here and gone, but Kerry Washington is just getting started as she revs up her production company, along with her commitment as a founding member of Time's Up. This woke woman shows no signs of slowing down. There's something magnificent about Kerry Washington. Yes, she is stunningly beautiful, thoughtful, and wise, talented, and independent, but she's also fiercely private. For an actress best known for playing one of the most visible and beloved characters on network television for the past 6 years, and in an era when everyone from Oprah to the 45th president of the United States regularly, if at times uncomfortably, lays their souls bare on Twitter, that's no small feat. A Bronx, New York native rooted in the values of education, political engagement, and activism, Washington, age 41, has built up momentum with her compelling yet grounded performances in films such as The Django Unchained and Confirmation, which she also has executive produced, and of course, ABC's Scandal. During her 7-season run as Olivia Pope, Washington has gotten married to an ex-football player, Nnamdi Asamoah, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and they welcomed 2 children, Isabel and Caleb. She has also launched a production company, Simpson Street, which has several projects in development, including a film adaptation of the novel The Mothers by Britt Bennett. Washington is free now to paint on a whole new black canvas, just as the Time's Up and Me Too movements crack open the industry. Around her, it's as if Kerry Washington's time it all perfectly. And so, in essence, what they did in this particular article is they're asking her some questions and then she's responding. So here's the first question. In the 2000 independent film Our Song, you play a very particular kind of young black woman, a pre-black girl magic black girl. And I wonder what your memories are of that role, but also more specifically, that girl. And her response is, oh, that's so interesting. What makes you contextualize that character as pre-black girl magic? Because I don't think there's such a thing as pre-black girl magic. I mean, there's such a thing as pre the hashtag, but I think we both agree. Black girl magic is from the beginning of time. Do you mean before she had a community to identify with in that way? Yes, absolutely. I mean, certainly. If I were living in, yes, this hashtag moment or had a storm read as Meg in A Wrinkle in Time, it would have made for a difference or a different young black girl experience. And Washington's response is, I feel like I lived in a world in which my mother created a microcosm of all the things you're talking about. When my mother read A Wrinkle in Time to me when I was a little girl, it was just when I had chicken pox and I had to drop out of gymnastics camp. And I guess because it was coming from my mother, I did imagine myself as Meg, because I lived in a house where my mother subscribed to Essence. My mother would drive to another state to buy the Cabbage Patch Kids that were black and brown so that they looked like me and my Puerto Rican cousins. That was the world I grew up in. There was no black girl directing a 100 million film of A Wrinkle in Time, but there was a black mother instilling the idea that I could be the protagonist of whatever story my imagination allowed for me in my little apartment in the Bronx. Next question. You've always been very particular about the work you choose, but it feels as if there's a kind of sea change happening that is resulting in not just thoughtful scripts and roles, but also very politically and culturally savvy kinds of stories. The sheer influx of books by women of color that are being adapted, you and Reese Witherspoon are doing Celeste Ngong's book, Little Fires Everywhere. Do you think you'd have thought to do the same a decade ago? And Washington's response is, well, it was Reese's idea to do Celeste's book. Reese had it first and sent it to me and said, you know, we're friends and we have, well, we had been kind of looking for something to do together. And was like, I found it. And I was so curious, like, what was the thing Reese read and thought was right for me? Then I read it and was blown away. I was actually talking to Gabrielle Union, and Gab was like, are you playing so-and-so in the book? And I said, yeah. And she said, I didn't know she was Black. And I was like, she is now. And the next question is, I love it. I feel like the reason that the culture of Hollywood seems smarter lately is because women, not just those supporting hashtag Me Too and Time's Up, are saying we're not here to complain, we're here to create. And Washington's response is, I agree wholeheartedly. And a big part of that is actually resisting this idea of us being siphoned off and only allowing one of us in the room. I have noticed in the last 3 years or so, we're just reaching out to each other more. That's been one of the most powerful parts for me of being involved with the Time's Up movement. It has changed the ways we operate. It changes what award shows and parties feel like. We are becoming stronger as communities, as Black women, as larger circles of women of color, larger circles of women in Hollywood, larger circles of just people in Hollywood. Who gives a bleep? Next question that Essence asked Kerry Washington is, I feel it's a sweet little F you to what's happening in the White House, not just in Hollywood, but there are pockets of us who are doing everything we can to show up and show out in a creative way to preserve what we hold dear about America. And Kerry's response is, I just want us to show up and show out for the next election. The way we show up and show out for Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder and Black Panther, I don't even know if we've understood our purchasing power. And I think we need to start to exercise our democratic power with the same kind of vibrancy and commitment. I feel like my role as a storyteller is to keep tapping into the humanity that connects us so that we actually care about each other, that we give a bleep about each other, so that we pay attention when liberties are being stripped away from us, that we understand that we matter. Next Essence question, let's talk about Scandal for a minute. How are you processing the end of such a phenomenal era? Her response is, I'm probably just at the beginning of it, although it's pretty great. Going into the final year, knowing that it was our final year, really allowed us to process at every step along the way. We've been talking about this, and it's the last, whatever it is, for a year now. This is our last Halloween together. We've been living in the awareness and what that has allowed us to do is to really approach the ending with a sense of reverence and gratitude for what we've been able to share with one another and with our community as gladiators and fans. Essence question. In a recent interview, you said that the character Olivia Pope had given you the courage to have kids. What does that mean? And Kerry's response is, that's what happens when you do an interview and it gets reduced to clickbait. What I said was that I feel like whenever I play a character, I feel she comes into my life to teach me something. I've never had the privilege of playing a character for this long. But of the many things Olivia Pope has given me is the sense that anything's possible, that there's always a way through all cylinders. people. Let's go. I think it's one of the reasons why I started a production company. It's one of the reasons why I've done a lot of things that have required courage. But I definitely think being a parent is an adventure, and it's one that I embarked on in this window of time in my life. Essence, next question is, do your kids see you on TV or the big screen, or does that not come into play? And Carrie Washington's response is, yeah, they do. They do because I'm not like Rapunzel. My kids don't live in a tower with no TV. They drive by billboards on Sunset Boulevard in LA with my face on them. That happened. And Essence's next question is, what is kind of bananas, right, for a little child? Or maybe it isn't. I don't know. And Carrie's response is, I'm not going to attempt to know what it is for them, to be honest, because they're going to have to their own journeys processing it and what it means and what the experience was for them. I try to uphold the values of hard work and striving for excellence and generosity in the workplace and being responsible and accountable in the workplace and being kind in the workplace. I don't do what I do because I want or like to be famous. I do what I do because I really love storytelling. And that was a great article. Let's move on to money and power. Sexual harassment on the job. In the hashtag MeToo era, here's how everyday women can reclaim their power. Early in her career, Tana M. Session was an executive assistant to a boss who would constantly joke about her and made crude and sexual explicit comments. It was in the 90s. I really felt I had no recourse except just to grin and bear it, says Sessions, age 49, who is now a human resources consultant. When she couldn't stomach it anymore, she started looking for another job and eventually found one, though she took a pay cut. Sadly, Session's story isn't rare. According to a 2016 study by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, also known as the EEOC, anywhere between 25 and 85% of women have encountered sexual harassment in the workplace. The difference between then and now is the upswing in the popularity of the hashtag MeToo movement. A campaign created a decade ago by activist Tarana Burke that put stories of sexual assault and harassment in the spotlight. Ever since, numerous allegations of lurid behavior from Hollywood bigwigs came to national attention in 2017. Many companies have begun to take these claims more seriously. While hashtag MeToo has largely focused on the rich and powerful in Hollywood, media, and government, the truth is sexual harassment can happen to any one of us, anywhere. Here's what you need to know if it occurs at your job. Understanding the racial impact. Quote, Black women tend to experience higher rates of sexual harassment than any other group, says Nicole T. Buchanan, an associate professor of psychology at Michigan State University. Quote, they are more likely to be targeted for more severe forms of it and are likely to be economically vulnerable or unable to extract themselves from the situation within the organization. End quote. Buchanan says, to research this issue, Buchanan conducted focus groups with Black professional women across the country. Some described being subjected to remarks directly highlighting parts of our bodies that have historically been hypersexualized. Others refrained from voicing complaints because they were afraid they wouldn't be believed or might be accused of playing the race card. In cases in which the offender was a Black man, some women were more hesitant to say anything for fear of being labeled a traitor to their own race. If you find yourself subject to unwanted behavior, first tell the person to stop, says Sherry Sims, founder of Black Career Women's Network, a professional development organization. Quote, let the person know that the statement made you feel uncomfortable, end quote. Sometimes speaking up will nip the behavior in the bud. It worked for Mercy L. McKinley, age 35. In her early 20s, she was in the military with a fellow soldier, made quips about her, about how her short stature was perfect for certain sexual acts. McKinley didn't laugh. I just made it perfectly clear. Hey, I'm here to get my job done, and I don't appreciate the comments that you're making. And if it doesn't stop, then I'm going to elevate it higher, end quote, she says. Next, be sure to document what transpired. You need to provide specific details of what actions were taken by whoever it is you are alleging is harassing you, says Annette Newman, an employment labor law and civil rights attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That means writing down the time and location of the incident, what was said or done, and your reaction to it. Also include details such as the names of any witnesses, if possible. If the bad behavior continues, then you should bring the matter to someone else's attention, says D.C. Marshall, an executive coach and diversity consultant. Your employer's sexual harassment policy should explain the procedure, such as whether you should initially go to your manager or to human resources to report a violation. When you do, be ready to produce your evidence, Marshall continues. Also take notes on what happens during your session with human resources and every action the department takes pertaining to your allegations. Unfortunately, many women have found HR to be less than helpful. In fact, a 2017 poll by ABC News and the Washington Post indicates that among women who had experienced sexual harassment in the workplace, a whopping 95% believe that the accused go unpunished. You have to gauge if your human resources department is pro-employer or pro-employee, says Sims. If HR doesn't do anything, take your concerns to a vice president or someone who oversees the HR department, Sims adds. Knowing your rights, if you followed all internal procedures to report a claim and a remedy hasn't been offered, start exploring legal options. First, file your complaint with the EEOC, Federal Protections Against Sexual Harassment Fall, under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. If your state has laws against sexual harassment, put in a claim with the agency that oversees this issue, advises Connie A. Broussard, an employment lawyer in San Diego who investigates workplace sexual harassment. However, you must act fast. The statute of limitations for a complaint can be as short as 3 to 6 months, depending on the case and where it happened, Broussard says. When filing the claim, you'll be asked to provide basic information about the incident, such as what actions you believe were discriminatory and when the actions took place. At this point, you should be looking for an attorney. Many offer a free consultation, and some may even take the case on contingency or partial contingency, which means you would pay either nothing or a small sum unless the attorney wins money for you, Broussard says. You can contact Equal Rights Advocates for free advice on your options. The EEOC will offer mediation between you and your employer, but both of you would have to agree to it. An attorney can help you through the process. The goal is to resolve the situation quickly. Perhaps your employer could transfer you or the accused harasser to a different department so you would no longer work together. Other possible outcomes could be terminating the accused or negotiating a financial settlement for your emotional suffering. If a mediation fails or is not agreed to, the EEOC would then pursue an investigation. If the commission determines there was indeed a violation, it will give you a notice of right to sue. You need this form to take your employer to court. However, it may take years to settle a lawsuit, experts warn. Even so, legal actions could help you receive damages. Remember, your documentation of the incident should be on point. Any retaliatory actions from your company or steps you've taken as a result of the harassment will also be examined in court. Reclaiming your power. Because trauma affects everyone differently, the emotional or psychological symptoms resulting from sexual harassment can manifest in many ways, says Faith Tropp, PhD, a licensed marriage and family therapist associate in Cornelius, North Carolina. The ordeal can impact your ability to fulfill your responsibility, says Marshall. It will show up when we draw back things like fearing of speaking up, fear of showing up, or fear of sharing space with men. It prevents us from climbing the ladder, taking advantage of opportunities for leadership and promotion, she says. Victims often downplay what happened to them, and they may not realize how detrimental an incident was until days, months, or even years later, Tropp says. Another common reaction is self-blame, but it runs counter to the way we respond to other types of offenses against us, Tropp points out. We never say to the victim, "Oh, you shouldn't have been walking with your wallet in your hand when the person stole it." Women who experience sexual misconduct should seek support, says Keisha M. Wells, a licensed professional counselor and founder of Transformation Counseling Services in Columbus, Georgia. Isolation is the breeding ground for torment and suffering, says Wells. Individual or group therapy, support groups, and hotlines can help. Self-care in the form of prayer, meditation, proper sleep, and nutrition is also important, Will says. Regardless of what workplace or legal strategies you employ, your emotional health should be paramount, and you should know you have the right to feel safe at work. Just like men, we're in the workplace to make a living for our family, Session says. We're not there to be harassed. So moving on to a lighter article titled Path to Power, Young Phenomenon. Industry disruptor. With the co-working space Themology, Megan Ward has helped usher in a new era of progressive entrepreneurial incubation. The best part, women of color are placed front and center. Megan Ward was still a young college graduate, or rather a young college student, when she watched her mother struggle after being laid off from a job, a misfortune that led to the loss of her childhood home. Fortunately, a family friend took in both women as they worked through the rough patch. Quote, "I remember my clothes being stuffed in garbage bags, getting dressed and making the best of it," she says. That ordeal drove the Detroiter to launch a marketing business while she was in school. Along with co-owner Ashley Brock, she ultimately opened Themology. The unique co-working space also functions as an incubator for Detroit's community of Black women entrepreneurs. Quote, "It's a hub for fostering collaboration, but also serves as a strategic foundation for building businesses," end quote, Ward says. Here, the 28-year-old serialpreneur tells us how she did it and what's to come. So Essence is asking her a series of questions, and then she's responding. So the first question is, how did you get into entrepreneurship? And Megan Ward's response is, "I launched my first business in college in my college apartment. I started these companies because my mom had lost her job. Her house was going into foreclosure, and I almost had to come back home from college. I had to grab the reins like, okay, you need to help mom out. You need to provide a way so that you can finish school. Next question is, what bumps did you face along the way to getting Femology going? Her response is, people would make certain comments like, is this legal? Are they discriminating against men? Of course we're not discriminating. We only said that we're women focused, meaning everything we do has a woman's life in mind. When you go to WeWork, which is a popular chain of co-working spaces, it's a generalized concept. When you come here, as soon as you walk through our doors, you're like, this is for me. I feel like I'm home. Essence's next question is, in addition to working on Femology, you participated in a speaker program with the U.S. Embassy. How did that come about? And her response is, I was invited by the folks of the U.S. Embassy to go on a campaign with them overseas. They were inspired by Detroit Femology and the revolution we have going on here. It went so well. I was also going to speak at a conference for the United Nations and represent the U.S., discussing what women's empowerment means and how it can be a positive force for global change. Essence's next question is, what was that experience like and has that led to other opportunities? And her response is, what I learned is that all women crave purpose and sisterhood. People were so excited about me attending and the feedback was so great. It was added to a database of preferred speakers for the State Department. I'll potentially be partaking in missions that deal with women entrepreneurs and female empowerment globally. And Essence, last question is, what advice do you have for women in the throes of starting a business? And her response is, be authentic to yourself. That's the first thing. As women, we want to be fulfilled. That's why so many of us are creating businesses. We want to live our dream life and to do what we want every day. Own your story. Successes are as important as losses. Losses are just as important as challenges. And all of this factors into your unique story. You never know who it inspires and who it impacts. Quote from her is, we're women focused, meaning everything we do has a woman's life in mind, end quote. And we're going to stop right there because it looks like that we're, you know, have run out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. We hope that you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradioreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.